measures to make the present of Christmas known. And I want to talk with you about that this morning. We'll talk with you some about the present of Christmas. Let's just invite the presence of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are already here. We've sensed your spirit moving as we have worshiped and praised this morning. And we pray that right now you would, for a few moments, because today's a day where there are a lot of distractions, but for a few moments, Lord, our minds would be focused and centered on what you are speaking into our lives, speaking into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to remember now, as we are talking, all these messages for this Christmas season are coming from Luke, the first chapter. And I want you to remember, I want you to keep this in mind as we are going through, that what we are studying, we know as the Christmas story, and I'm preaching it as a Christmas series, but I want you to remind you that the truths we are talking about transcend Christmas. They are broader, they're bigger than Christmas. In fact, the first people to hear these words in Luke 1 and to experience these truths did not experience in the context of Christmas. They had experienced it in the midst of life, when life was happening and life was going on. And that's really the gist. Even though I'm preaching it as a Christmas series, I want you to remember that it's in the context of life that we experience these truths. That certainly is true of last week's message. Remember what we talked about last week, Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, God moved in our midst last week. Touched lives tremendously and all week long. And as we talked about that, it's God that makes the fact. It's God. He's the one who makes nothing impossible. And that's an accepted reality. It's not a wish, but an accepted reality. And more than that, it's not just a historic fact. It's a future promise and a present reality. We talked about that, how that God's, the point of Christmas is that nothing is impossible with God. Last week's message, I spoke for a moment about something that is this morning is the central theme of this week's message. In fact, I think it's the central theme of Christ, and I've called it the present of Christmas. Now remember again, if you open your Bibles to Luke 1, I hope you have them open there because we're going to kind of walk through those stories there. Remember now, Luke wrote this account, as well as the book of Acts, to give historical facts about Christianity to a Roman official named Theophilus in hoping that by him reading the truth about the truth about Christianity, he would experience Christ. And so he starts out this gospel as we know it, the gospel according to Luke, he starts it out with the miraculous events surrounding Christ's birth. In fact, in chapter 1, there are actually three stories. And in each of those stories, there's something that ties them together. They all have, I think, allusions to the present of Christmas. In fact, God wrapped an incredible gift in the present of Christmas. A gift that would change everything. A gift that would make nothing impossible with God. I want us to talk about those stories for a minute. Discover what they say to us, and then kind of unwrap it for our lives today. So let's start for a minute. There are three stories. The first story starts with Zechariah. Zechariah, and many of you may know this, but just for the sake of us all being on the same page, just stay with me for a moment. Now, Zechariah is a priest. He's married to a woman named Elizabeth, and they are older. They are way beyond childbearing years. Those years are long past for them. In fact, Elizabeth is barren, and as they are there, Zechariah, at the time of this story, his lot has been called. In other words, it's time for him to serve before the Lord. And in fact, Zechariah, on this particular season, at this particular time, Zechariah has been chosen to go in, not just to work in general, but to go into the Holy of Holies and to work at the altar of incense. That is his job, to burn the altar of incense. The altar of incense, by the way, just so you real quickly, when you passed by into the Holy of Holies, at the very back was the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was, and behind that, behind a curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. Before that, it was the candelabra, the candlestick. On the left side, on the right side, you would find the table of shewbread. And the first thing that you would encounter as you walked into the Holy of Holies would be the altar of incense. It was a tall altar, probably roughly about this high. It was made of solid gold, overlaid with gold. It had horns on each corner of the altar. And the priest would burn a special incense. In fact, that incense would begin, it would rise, and it would begin to fill that place. So that incense, that smell of that incense would permeate beyond the Holy of Holies. And everyone who was anywhere near could smell the incense burning there. In fact, they would do more than that. The priest that was working, before he would go into the most holy place, behind the curtain, he would take a laver and he would fill it with some coals, and he would burn some incense on that laver, and he would stick it through the curtain so that that incense would fill the most holy place before he went in before the presence of the Lord. Zechariah had done this a number of times. He had lived his life doing this. But on this particular occasion, something unbelievable happened. As he walks in, he looks, as he begins to do his work, he looks, and standing, the story says, standing to the right of the altar of incense is the angel of the Lord. And it says he was stunned and afraid, which brings up all kinds of questions for me. I mean, if you are serving for years before the presence of the Lord, that close to the Ark of the Covenant, why would you be stunned when an angel showed up? Right? And that may be a whole story for another time, except that I think a lot of times through life we kind of end up the same way. You're right. We're just kind of going through the motions. Then God shows up and we're stunned, maybe even afraid a bit. But the angel says to Zechariah, I don't want to digress. I don't want to get too far off the point this morning. The angel says to Zechariah, he says, don't be afraid, for your prayers have been heard. They've been answered. And your wife, who has been barren, is going to bear a child. She is going to have a child. He and his wife, his barren wife, are going to have a child. And not just any child. This child is actually going to prepare the way of the Lord. We later find out that this child is John the Baptist. Zechariah, interestingly enough, asked something that would be common for every single one of us to ask. Remember now, he is old. His wife is barren. They are beyond years. And Zechariah asked simply this: how can I know? In fact, what he says, what the NIV says is, how can I be sure of this? That's a good question. Now think about it for a moment. The angel has just promised him an impossible possibility. He has just told him something that is impossible. He and his wife do not have the natural capability to produce a child. And so Zechariah quite naturally wants to know, how can this be? How can I be sure that this is going to happen? I mean, after all, think about it. You and I aren't that far removed from Zechariah, right? I mean, when God promises something, it's easy to say, Lord, how can I be sure? How can I know that this is going to happen? How can I be absolutely sure that this is going to happen? In fact, it's a natural question to ask when God promises me something. God, I want some assurance. I want to know this is going to happen. You've promised me something that is beyond my ability, beyond my capability, beyond even my understanding. How can I know for sure? Am I the only one that's asked that? Right? How can I know for sure? And the answer that the angel gives to Zechariah is it's a peep into the present of Christmas. It's a glimpse into the present of Christmas. Here it is. It's in verse 19. Here's what he says. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. The word presence there, when he says, I stand in the presence of God, the word presence there actually means before. And in the Hebrew, it means in the face of. Here's what Gabriel was saying. Gabriel was saying, I am Gabriel, and I stand before God's face. I stand before him. I stand in his presence, and I have been sent to you to tell you this good news today. See, listen to me. Zechariah, what he wanted to know is how he could be sure that the impossible was going to be made possible. He wanted to be sure that the impossible was going to happen. He wanted to be sure that what this angel was saying was actually going to take place. And the answer of the angel was, you can be sure because I've been in the presence of the Lord. You can be sure because I've talked to him face to face. You can be sure because I have talked with the God Almighty face to face. That's how you can be sure. Zechariah's assurance was that the angel had been before God. I want you to listen to me this morning. I want you to hear me this morning. My friend, there is only one way to be sure that the impossible is made possible. There is only one way to be sure that the impossible is going to happen. There is only one way to be sure that that which is not natural, that which cannot happen in the natural, is going to happen. The only way is for you to be in the face of Almighty God. But when you have been in the face of Almighty God, when you have stood before Him, when you have heard the words from His lips, you can absolutely know that the impossible will be made possible. Used to be that if E.F. Hutton said it, it would happen. Problem is, there come one day when E.F. Hutton said it and it didn't happen, and so what happened to E.F. Hutton's words used to be that if Alan Greenspan said it, then it would happen. Problem was, we hit 2008 and what Alan Greenspan said would happen didn't happen. Used to be, right? It used to be. I'm telling you though, God's word has never failed. His promise has never not come true. If God says it, it is so. The angel of the Lord, in fact, it is almost as though, when you read the story in the context, it is almost as though the angel is kind of put back a little. How can you know? How can you know for sure? Here's how you can know for sure, because I've been in God's presence. I've been standing before Him. I've got this message from His lips. A prophet didn't tell me to say this. Another angel didn't tell me to say this. God Almighty told me to tell you this. That's how I can be sure, because I've been in His presence. And I want you to know this morning that there are sometimes in your life and my life. Do I believe God speaks prophetically? Absolutely He does. Do I believe He still sends prophets? Absolutely He does. Do I believe God still brings a prophetic word from the pulpit? You better believe it or we're wasting our time here. But I'm also telling you that there comes some time that you must be in His presence yourself. There are some things I want to hear from God myself. I embrace a prophetic word that confirms what God has told me. I embrace a prophetic word from His word that embraces what God has said and spoken to me. But there are some things that I need to be in Your face. I need to hear it from Your lips. And when I do, God, then I'll put on my boots and I'll keep on walking, because I've been in the presence of Almighty God. If God's going to tell you to do something impossible, and something impossible is going to take place in your life, you better have had some FaceTime. In fact, listen to me. We would do well as a society to trade Facebook for some FaceTime. Hello? Right? We'd do well to trade, I forget the numbers. I read recently how much time people spend on Facebook. And I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. There's actually some things put on there that, I mean, I've been encouraged sometimes from some of the stuff that's been put on there. But when I need the impossible to be made possible, when I need to know that I'm going to make it when it doesn't look like I'm going to make it, when I need to know that I'm coming through when it looks like I'm going under, when I need to know that the mountain is just a molehill, I don't go to Facebook. I need some FaceTime with Almighty God. Amen. The angel said, that's how you know. You can be sure this has happened because I've been in God's face. And I've been sent to tell it to you. And I'm telling you this morning, there's only one way to really know that the impossible becomes possible. And that's if you've been in God's face. And I don't mean up in His face. I mean bowing before His face and say, Almighty God, I need a word from You. I need to hear from You. I need You to speak to me, Lord. That same idea is carried forward into the next story. As you follow down through, as you walk a little bit further through the story, here we find the traditional Christmas story. Mary is a young girl. She's a young virgin. In fact, we have no way of knowing for certain, but usually when that phrase young virgin is used, usually the girl is 14 years or younger. Now, to put it in context, the lifespan at that time was less than half of what it is now. So that kind of puts it in context a little bit. But Mary is just going about her chores. She's going about her normal duties. She's cooking a meal, or she's making the bed, or she's sweeping the house. In fact, that's a miracle in and of itself there, isn't it? A teenager working. Can I get an amen? You guys love me? I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist that. She's going about her normal chores, her normal duties, the normal things that she does, sweeping or mopping or making the beds or fixing a meal, and as she does, an angel shows up. Unlike Zechariah, and I think this is important, she's not in the Holy of Holies. She's not in the holy place. She's not busy about God's work. She's just busy doing what she is supposed to be doing. She's going through life, and an angel shows up, and you remember the story, what the angel said. The angel says, Mary, you have found favor in God's eyes. And because you have found favor in God's eyes, you shall birth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. He will be the son of the Most High. Think about it. He will be the son of the Most High. His father will give him the throne of David, and he'll rule over the house forever. Now, Mary is a 14-year-old virgin, and she has questions too, right? Listen to me. It's not bad to have questions when God starts talking about the impossible becoming possible. Mary's question is a little bit different. Mary's question is not, how can I be sure? But Mary's question is, are you sure? How can this be? How can... See, I'm a virgin, as though the angel of the Lord didn't know that, right? I'm a virgin. What is she saying? She said, I do not understand. Let me pause here for a moment. This is not part of my notes, but I feel like somebody needs to hear this morning. Listen to me. It is okay to have a conversation with God when you do not understand. God is not afraid of your questions. God is not afraid of you asking why, how long, I don't understand. God is not afraid of that. And she says, how can this be? I am a virgin. Mary wants to know how an impossibility can ever become a possibility. The answer that the angel gives her gives us another glimpse into the present of Christmas. It allows us to look in a little more. And here it is. It's in verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most Highest will overshadow you. It's interesting here, though, when it says the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the word there, upon, actually it means to superimpose over. It means to superimpose over. It doesn't mean that Mary's going to go away. It doesn't mean that Mary's not going to be present. It means that God is going to superimpose super over natural. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? The natural is going to still be there, but the super is going to be over the natural. And when the super becomes over the natural, then the impossible becomes possible again, right? I don't think you're hearing me this morning. Mary knew it is not naturally possible for a virgin to have a child. It's like... I hope I don't offend. I try hard not to use my daughters when I make an illustration, but at times they've had to have tests, and all of you know this, nowadays, young girls of their age, anytime they do any kind of test, they're going to do a pregnancy test, right? It offends Danielle and Casey Lynn, because they know, right, there is no way, right? And this was, Mary was saying, there Do you hear what I'm saying? There is no natural way. So how can this be? And the angel says it will be that the Holy Spirit will impose the super over the natural. And now the impossible will become possible because it's not natural. It is supernatural. It is supernatural. Mary understands. He said more than that. He says, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. The actual word there is fascinating. The word overshadow means to cast a shadow upon, as in a haze of brilliancy beyond the natural realm. Let me read that again to you. Overshadow means to cast a shadow upon something, as in a haze of brilliancy beyond the natural realm. Mary wanted to know. She wanted to know how the impossible could move from the realm of impossible to the realm of possible. And the answer was that the impossible, a virgin giving birth, moved to the realm, from the realm of the impossible to the realm of the possible. That is, a virgin could give birth, and not just birth, but birth to the Son of God, when God's presence was there. You understand this morning that natural becomes supernatural and impossible becomes possible when God's presence is there, my friend. I still don't think you're hearing me. Watch this morning. It is not that the impossible moves from the realm of impossibility to the realm of possibility. Now follow me now. It's not that the impossible moves from the realm of impossible to the realm of impossibility, of possibility. Rather, it is that God's presence moves in. And when God's presence moves in into the natural realm, now the natural realm, the realm of impossibility, the realm of can't, the realm of won't, the realm of no way, the realm of not today, the realm of no way it's going to happen, the realm of it's always going to be this way, the realm of you were cursed and you're always going to be cursed, the realm of you're a loser and you're always going to be, that's the realm of the natural. So it's not that the impossibility moves to the realm of possibility. Rather, it's that the supernatural moves in on the natural. And when the supernatural moves in on the natural, then cannot becomes can. Then will not becomes will. Then no way becomes all the way. Then what if becomes what happened, my friend? Why? Because the supernatural has moved in on the natural. The impossible becomes possible in the supernatural. You see, it's God's presence. God's presence is the present of Christmas. God's presence is the presence of Christmas. You see it in the story of Zechariah. You see it in the story of Mary. God's presence. God did not send another prophet. He had sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. God didn't send another set of laws. He had already sent a set of laws. Right? God didn't send another judge or another king. He had already sent. God came himself, and the supernatural split through the realm of the natural. And when he did, the impossible became possible, and God became man. A virgin cannot have a child, but when the super is imposed over the natural, a virgin can have a child. Man cannot have the child of God, but when the super imposes over the natural, then impossible becomes possible. It's God's presence. That's the present of Christmas. That's the gift of Christmas. In fact, it is a gift. You hear a lot today about the gift that keeps on giving. Christmas is the gift that keeps on giving because He introduced it in the person of Jesus Christ. He continued it in the person of the Holy Spirit. And you and I today are living in the present of Christmas that God gave that day over 2,000 years ago. You understand what that means? That means that today, Stacy, in your life, in the situation that is impossible to you, when the super is imposed over the natural, then the impossible becomes possible again. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying this morning? It's His presence. His presence. That's what changes the whole dynamic. That's what causes the natural to become supernatural. In fact, we can see it in the story, the final story in that. I'll not go into it as elaborately, but look at it. Mary goes down to visit Elizabeth. It's fascinating to me. Elizabeth, remember, is the woman who was barren, whose husband is old. And the story says she's what? 6 months pregnant. Can somebody say impossible can be possible, right? What cannot be can be when God's presence is in it. And when Mary walks into the room, the story says, in fact, I love what it says, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hello? Are you kidding me? Do you understand? It is the presence of God. The gift of Christmas is the presence of God. When super is imposed over natural, then that natural must leap. That natural must stand up and take notice. That natural must give way, my friend. Some of you have got something brewing inside of you. Some of you have got a promise of God. Some of you have got something God has told you. Some of you have a lost loved one, or a strained marriage, or difficult finances, or a tough situation at work, and it's brewing inside of you. And I'm telling you that when the super is imposed over the natural must stand up and pay attention. It must. Why? Because when the super comes in, the natural's not natural anymore. It is supernatural. And the impossible is not impossible anymore. It suddenly becomes reality. Reality. Elizabeth was pregnant. 6 months pregnant. And according to the way the scripture reads, there is at least the suggestion that she knew prophetically. When Mary walks in, she looks at him and says, the baby leaped inside of me. And I am honored to be in the presence of such a one that will give birth to the Most High God. Do you understand? Prophecy came alive inside of her. You still aren't hearing what I'm saying. John the Baptist is the prophet that is going to declare, behold the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. That thing came alive when the supernatural walks into the room, and all of a sudden, and there are no impossibilities anymore. Oh my goodness! That prophecy came alive inside of her because the super was imposed over the natural, my friend. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit. John couldn't help but be a prophet, my friend. He couldn't help but to cry, behold, here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why? Because the presence of God was so powerful in that room that the baby inside leaped. Leaped. And prophetically, she proclaimed, you're going to give birth to the Messiah, to the Son of God. And then begins to sing a prophetic song. Sing a prophetic song. What's the point that you're making, Pastor? The point I'm making is this. I believe we are living in a season where God, again, wants to do the impossible. He again wants to do the impossible. He again wants to do the prophetic. Listen, the world will not know Christ has come by technique or programs or plans. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not condemning technique. In fact, I think sloppy technique is a disgrace to God. I'm not giving you excuse. I'm not giving you excuse to wimp out on technique, right? I'm not giving you excuse to not study, to not apply yourself, to not work hard. I'm not giving you excuse not to. In fact, listen, I think that demeans what God's wanting to do. But I am telling you that the world needs to see some superimposed over natural. The world needs to see some impossibility come to pass. And I believe we are living in a season where God wants to do that again. And the only way is if the people of God live in the presence of God and have some face time with God. Amen? Let me say it again. The gift of Christmas is that the people of God can now live in the presence of God and can have some time in the face of God. And when that happens, superimposes over natural and impossible becomes possible again. I think that's what God's wanting to do in our midst. I think that's what God's wanting to do at TRC. I think that's what God's wanting to do at Valdosta. I think, well, that's what Christmas was really all about. It was the present of Christmas. The present of Christmas was that, in fact, Matthew says it. Matthew 1 says this. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Reminds us of what we talked about last week, right? The word with there means it's a proximity. It means near. When God is near, the impossible becomes possible. This morning, this Christmas season, I hope that your eyes are enlightened. I hope that this Christmas season that you can sense the presence of God. Not because of the Christmas season, but as the first ones did in Luke 1, they experienced it in the midst of life. And so what do you do, Pastor? You need to look for and recognize God's presence when you're doing the household chores. Yeah. Sometimes I think we curse that which God is about to move in the midst of. Perhaps that's why Paul has said in Philippians, give thanks in all things. Why? Because any minute the super could step into the natural. At any minute the impossible could become possible. Presence of God when you're signing a customer up for water or counseling a client, right? Presence of God when you're teaching a class, counseling with a parent. Presence of God when you're sitting around with a bunch of chemistry majors whose minds are mush. How did I ever make it through that? God may be wanting to speak in the midst of that. In fact, as a chemistry major, you need God extra bad. Amen, Julie? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying never underestimate the natural situation you find yourself in, because with the presence of God, it can become supernatural. In a moment, or the impossible situation you face, because in a moment, with the presence of God, that impossible can become possible. God can give you a job today. God can change your finances today. God can heal your body today. He can. God can raise you up today. God can restore the marriage today. God can. He can. The impossible can become possible. The natural can become supernatural. And does when God is present. Ask. Ask for a renewed sense of God's presence. Not only this Christmas season, but in life. That's the challenge today. That's what I want you to do right now, today. Ask for a renewed sense of God's presence. Will you bow your heads with me and let's do that? Let's actually do that this morning. Father, we need... we need a renewed sense of your presence. We need a renewed sense of what you're up to. We need a renewed sense of what you're doing. So we need a renewed sense of you. Lord, it's so easy for us to forget, to concentrate on the miraculous birth, both of John the Baptist and of Jesus. To concentrate on that and to miss completely the fact that it was your presence. That's what you were doing. That's the gift you were giving, was your presence. And that gift today is as real as it was in that room when the baby leaped in Elizabeth and the Holy Spirit filled her. Your presence is here today among your people. Individually and collectively, you've promised us that we are the temple of God. I asked that not just in this season, but in the new year that is just around the corner, we would have a new sense of your presence. I pray that our worship time would be filled with a sense of your presence, that our word time will be filled with a sense of your presence. But more than that, Lord, I pray that when we sit at lunch with our co-workers, your presence will be filled with a sense of your presence. When we ride down the car, down the road in the car, we'll be filled with a sense of your presence. Lord, when we're in a difficult conversation with a coworker or a boss, Lord, we'll be filled with a sense of your presence. When impossible things rise up, I pray that we'll be filled with a sense of your presence. And I pray that that natural inside of us, that you've planted and given, will leap prophetically at the presence of God. Will come alive prophetically at the presence of God and will indeed produce, Lord, that which you promised, that which you said, that which you've destined because of your presence. This morning we thank you for it and we embrace it today. From our prayer time to our private time to our public lives, let us be in tune again with your presence. For that we give you thanks. For that we give you praise. Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now listen to me. We'll say this and then we're gonna say the blessing over you this morning that I normally do out of number 6. But listen to me. Expect the super to come into the natural and the possible to come into the impossible. For that which God has spoken and promised you, for it to become prophetically alive and to produce what he has promised you will produce. Amen. The word amen means let it be so. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace.